What are some things you see in your kids that you see in yourself and you wish you didn't see it in either, frankly? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. Welcome to the show today. We're talking about the fact that kids catch more than they're taught. They catch it from us. You know, they listen to our words, but mostly they look at our actions, how we behave. And so today the question would be, what is it that your kids have seen in you that you don't want them to emulate, or maybe something you're proud of that you say, hey, I want to thank God that they've seen this and they're picking it up in their own life? Share it with us live on our comment line. 888-888-1717 is the number. I'd love to have you do that. As far as the show is concerned, on the radio live, we have from our archives several calls ready to go for our program today. But we do welcome your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717.
I have a son who also is just like me. He looks just like me. He sounds just like me. And he is very stubborn like I was as a child. And if it wasn't for my husband being more calm and less controlling, then I don't know how I would parent him effectively. There are times we just butt heads quite often. And I adore him and want the best for him. As a child of an abusive parent, I'm very mindful of how disastrous bad parenting can be. And so I really want to be mindful of how I relate to him. And sometimes I feel like I fail because I have to raise my voice to him to get his attention, a lot like had to be done with me. But I'm always relieved to have my husband. He's a strong presence there, just kind of keeping us both calm and in our corners when it calls for it.
Well, you're blessed to have your husband. I think one of the advantages of marriage, when you marry someone a little different than yourself, it gives that balance in your family. And I was thinking about it as you were sharing, Miranda, how we really should live our lives in such a way that we'd be proud to have our children emulate it in terms of the way we think or behave or respond. Not perfectly, by the way. Please, this is, I'll tell you, if you're trying to be perfect, your kids will see through that as well. But being real, being genuine. And when you fail and you take responsibility and know that God forgives and get up and keep going. That's a powerful combination. Today, especially now more than ever, the research is very clear that young people are not necessarily impressed just by what someone says, but they really are looking for genuineness, realness, people who are just real people. And that's a powerful thing. All right. Again, you can share your comment on our comment line, 888-888-1717. And let's get started with Cheryl from Arizona, apparently with a question today. So Cheryl, welcome to the show. How can I help you?
Hi, Dr. Carlson. The situation that comes up quite often is I tell my kids to do something and they respond, yes, Mom, but then there's no action that follows those words. So I repeat it again and this time remind them of the consequence and they say, yes, Mom, but there's still no action. So after going around in circles like this a few times, I end up getting frustrated and start yelling. Then they respond. Why do they wait for it to get to that point? What can I do to change this?
Yeah, you've thought about that. You have it all kind of written out, I think, even the way you shared it. You know, everybody's speaking to you on the radio right now, Cheryl. They're saying, don't count to 10 and don't repeat yourself four times. Follow through. If there's no action and you have reasonably set out some consequences and you don't follow through, and I think you said you went around and around, eventually, kids know you're not serious until you start yelling. And by the way, Cheryl, you're not alone. We had a call on our comment line from, I think it was Carmen, who's a grandmother. And I think she sort of relates to what you're talking about. So I want you just to take a listen to her for a moment.
Hi. I just want to praise God right now because I am a grandmother who has taken custody of a 12-year-old granddaughter, which is my son. And for the past year and a half, I found myself in the last 3 months yelling. And I have been praying to God to help me to stop yelling because she is given to me because she came from an abusive mom. And here I am yelling at her. And she's so sweet. She doesn't yell back at me. She doesn't get upset with me. She just says, okay, okay. So I am so ashamed of myself. But I praise God and I thank him because right now I am listening to this program and I thank you because God speaks and he uses people and I praise him and I thank you so much for everything that I am hearing today.
You know, Thank you. We are responsible for our behavior. We're responsible for the words that we use and for our attitude. It's one of the laws of intentional living that we're 100% responsible. And I think the moment we, come on, parents and grandparents, the moment we say, hey, I'm responsible, how I act, the words that I use, my attitude, because my kids are catching it. And over the years, I've seen that with my own kids. As you've seen behaviors that come out that you like. You know, when the kids do something great, it's easy as a parent to say, hey, that's my kid, you know, that's my kid. But when they do something not so great, it's like, whose kid is that anyway, you know? Where did that come from? And not always, but many times we do see our own worldview, our own attitudes, and our words coming out. And so really preparing, I think, and being prepared in advance is a powerful thing. To be intentional with as a parent, you've got to have a plan. And that made me think about a caller, one of our women who called the program and left a comment. And I think she kind of lays it out for you, Cheryl, in terms of what do you do if you got this problem of yelling. Take a listen to what she said.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Coming from somebody who's been a mother, and I'm still a mother of a 9 and 11-year-old or 12-year-old, I have found that the way to handle not yelling is to have a plan of how you're going to react when things don't go your way or when things don't, your children don't respond in the way that you want them to. Have a plan. Be proactive. And what I found myself doing is saying, okay, if my son does this, this is how I'm going to react. And if my son does that, then great. This is what my plan was. But more than likely, at least I'm ready, and I'm ready to respond in the right way. Practice it out, kind of role play with your spouse, and then this way you won't yell. You'll be ready, and you're going to react in a godly way.
That's good. And that's great advice. Thank you for that call. We're going to take a break in a moment. Come back. We'd love to hear from you. Perhaps today you think about, you're looking at your kids, your grandkids, and you see yourself and maybe a behavior or two or an attitude you had to work on as something's come out of their life that you realize is really coming out of your life originally. What is it? And how have you dealt with that intentionally? Or what is it that being intentional that you're trying to exemplify for your kids? What are some intentional things you're doing, behaviors and attitudes that you want your kids to imitate? And you're being intentional in the process. Give us a call. Let's talk. 888-888-1717.
This is a critical time. Now, identity is something we work on all through our lives, but from 10 to 20, in particular, this is a time of identity. And the question that many times is being asked is, who am I? Did you ask those questions? I mean, kind of, you know, who am I? Why am I here? What does God have for me? Or what is life like in these years? And the one thing that's so critical for parents and grandparents is to help your kids come to know Christ and then grow in Christ. And when I hear parents say, well, I'll let them make their decisions later, that is foolishness.
Complete foolishness, by the way. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month from Intentional Living on the Decades of Life. And you heard me reference that the teen years, especially in the early adult years, are when people are really sort of nailing down their identity. And we hear that talked about today. You know, people want to change their identity and they want to become something that God didn't intend for them to be. And it would be refreshing to hear some young people talking about, you know, I found my identity and it's not necessarily related to some attribute of my skin or how I see myself, but it's my identity is in Christ. You know, who I am is a follower of Christ. And so I say to young people today, you want to talk about identity, have your identity first and foremost as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, and then these other things will come into clear focus for you. Decades of Life, by the way, it's gone out to our members for this month. We're down to the end of the month. Last call for those of you joining us in monthly support. We'll get this to you as well. And a reminder, we only have a few hours left in our fiscal year, June 30th, we end, and we need your help. Can I just boldly ask several of you to just boldly give a generous gift to help us close out this year? Whatever you can do will be so appreciated. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support.
When I first married my husband, I found out he had an extreme rage issue all the time, but God continually told me to just wait and promised me a good marriage, and I stayed and prayed and stayed and prayed, and today we actually are in marriage ministry at our church, and we continually pray with couples that have these anger issues. I do have that marriage that God promised me.
Become a member and encourage others to find hope in their relationships through the daily ministry of Intentional Living. Become a member right now. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
All right, today we're talking about being intentional with our kids, because let's face it, our kids are great recorders. They pick up everything. It's like a sponge. They're watching constantly. You know that, and I know that. You can see it. You can see how they're picking up our attitudes, the words that we speak, how we speak to each other in our marriage, if we're married, our attitude toward the other people. But the problem, here's the problem with kids. Kids are great like sponges. They record everything, but they are terrible interpreters. They can't figure it all out. They, you know, you don't have a five-year-old saying, well, I mean, you know, mom's just having a bad day today. And I think that's really, I'm going to give her a break. I'm going to cut her a break because she wouldn't normally have said something like that, you know. So I'm going to cut her some slack because I love her and I know generally she's a pretty good mom. Come on now, that's not what kids do. Kids are constantly picking up, recording what we're doing, and they're interpreting it in their own way, and they're terrible at it. They either feel sometimes rejected or feel loved and accepted, or they feel that's the way the world works, or I'm to be quiet and back off and not express myself. And so while no parent can be perfect, to be aware of the fact that how we behave and our attitude does impact our kids should bring us to the level of mindfulness in terms of what we're saying and how we're saying it, to be aware of it and to be brave enough, strong enough, and as a believer, willing to go to your children when you've blown it and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Modeling is really what we're talking about. Modeling for our kids what God's intention is for them as they grow into adulthood. And so you're welcome to come and join us as we're talking about how do we model that. Maybe you've got a story you can share. It was a wake-up moment. Can you think of a wake-up moment in your own life, something you saw in your kids that said, wow, that comes back on me, and I need to work on that in my life? Or how have you turned some of your behavior and your attitude in a direction to help your children begin to imitate the things that really make a difference in a positive way? 888-888-1717 is the number, and we'll get you on the air. Tom is called from Illinois with a question today. Welcome to the program. How can I help you, Tom?
Hey, Randy. Just a kind of a comment and a question. My wife and I learned that our fighting, when we yelled at one another, that affected our kids. And the question I have is, how can we go back and help them to realize that the way mom and dad did things was not right? They're both out of the home now. One's at college, one's living on his own. And you know, we see the effects of the way we fought with one another in front of them. And we are Christians, made it tough. We're just looking for the right way to make things better.
Mm. Well, Tom, you're talking about regrets, and I can't think of any parent or grandparent that has been around for a number of years and raised kids or grandkids that don't have moments of regrets. I think in my own home, you know, I'm out teaching on parenting and how to be an intentional parent and using logical, natural consequences, and then would catch myself reacting, maybe yelling when I didn't need to or shouldn't have, or over-responding or lacking response. And I look back over the years and think, oh man, I should have done this. I could have done this. Why didn't I do that? And there's a point where Satan will use that should-haves, could-haves, why didn't I, to drag me down or drag you down in terms of being the kind of grandparent or parent you need to be now. And so to be brave enough when you've blown it to just say, hey, you know, you kids are all growing up now. You're on your own. And if I were going back and could do this all over again, there are two or three things I'd do differently. I want to just tell you what they are. And I don't know what they are for you. Are they being more patient or not overreacting, and to be brave enough to say, will you forgive me? Because my heart is such that I don't want you to take from what you experienced from me and see it repeated into the next generation. I know it puts a burden on you, but I want you to know that I'm supporting you, love you, and I know with God's help, those are some things that don't need to go to the next generation. They can stop right here. But I'll tell you what, you got to watch out for how regrets can get you into trouble. In fact, we had a call from Charlene in Arizona who had a comment about this and how, as a 70-year-old, regrets are really affecting her today. I want you to hear it. Now comment more.
I am 70 years old. I have raised three children, and I raised them dealing with them instead of working on relationships. I today have a wonderful family, but I do not have a good relationship with those three children, and I regret it very much. If there's anything your listeners can do to develop relationship when they're young, I suggest they do it. I'm developing a relationship now with grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yeah, I think that's part of God's grace to allow us to live long enough to be a grandparent. As a grandparent, we approach things in a different way than we did as parents. It's just part of the process. I think of Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell, I was at a conference speaking, and he was speaking there as well, and he made a statement. I've heard it repeated many times since by many people, but I originally heard it from Josh, and he said, a rule without a relationship will always create rebellion. And I thought, wow, that's pretty true. That's good. That's good. That's good counsel. It's good teaching. If you're a rule-based home where it's all about rules and regulations, following the plan, and you don't have a relationship that supports that, it's going to naturally create rebellion. Now, I went on and created my own little formula. I said, you know what, though? You can have relationship without rules, right? And I've seen parents like that. There's so much emphasis on relationship, there's no rules, and that can create chaos. And so it's the balance between these two, having reasonable rules and a great solid relationship that I think is something to shoot for. And we're talking about modeling for our kids. There you go. Have reasonable rules, rules that are right, rules that are consistent, rules, not a bunch of them. You know, if you've got 25 rules in your home, maybe there's too many. But there should be a few rules. We respect each other. We support each other. We're a family. I used to tell my kids, remember when you go out, you're a Carlson. You know, whatever that means to you, you're a Carlson. And I think setting those expectations in a way that are reasonable and clear for your kids is a positive thing. It's part of the process of being intentional. Come on, join us, 888-888-1717, talking parenting today. Andrea's on the line. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment?
I was just wanting to comment about the person that called in earlier about with the yelling at the kids,
yes,
and telling them to do something, and then they don't listen, and then you end up yelling. My husband and I are foster parents, so we deal with children that have a lot of, a lot of issues. And so one thing that we did, we took a class on love and logic,
mm-hmm,
and it changed our lives. It teaches you how to be calm and how to let your children know basically that you are the one in control of not only your emotions and your feelings, but they're not going to get you to the point of yelling, because sometimes children do that to get to get their needs, their attention,
sure,
whatever they need.
Yeah.
And the love and logic just really teaches you how to be in control and not let the kids control you.
Well, that's what kids have. I mean, they're either trying to get your attention or they're trying to establish a power base, which I'll make you do, mm-hmm, what I want you to do. So give,
right,
an example, Andrea. Let's say you've got a child, 5-year-old coming, and they're baiting you. They're coming after you. They're pushing all those buttons that get mom to either yell or get, you know, too reactive. What specifically did you do or do you do at that moment that you've learned that works?
There's key phrases. If you have a child that wants to argue with you and is, just arguing, you just keep saying over and over, I love you too much to argue. I love you too much to argue. And then, you know, just let them know you're not going to fight back with them. And eventually they give up because you love them too much to argue. And they know they're not going to get what they want.
Well, that's it. They're not getting to see what happens is when the child wants to argue and you argue with them, they got exactly what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You do know how much power that is for a little five-year-old to be able to get a mom to argue with him? And so this idea of love and logic, or we talk about natural consequences, logical natural consequences, what you're doing is you're sidestepping it. You're getting out of the way of that power as it's coming at you, and you're approaching it in a very intentional way, which is a good thing to do. Now, I know this Love and Logic series, it's held at different churches around the country, isn't it?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. The first class we took was probably about 10 years ago, and it was through our church. And yeah, it changed our lives.
That's good. Well, it's a good reminder that there are programs and things available. We talk about intentional living. We use logical and natural consequences. We talk about raising a responsible adult. Parallel with what you just heard is when you got a powerful child and you get in the way of that power, they're going to suck you in. And when they suck you in, you find out you're a five-year-old all over again. That's how you feel. And then you feel guilty and then all that vicious cycle. So a lot of love, using a lot of logic, and we talk about natural and consequences as well, and logical consequences. All right, more on parenting today, in particular, how our kids mimic who we are. And you know what? If you're an angry, here's what we've seen, angry children often have angry parents. It comes from that, it flows out of that. It's just part of the process, and that's why we tell parents to, what do we say? Parent up, power down, right? Parent up, power down. That's the process. All right, more in a moment. You can join us, 888-888-1717, as we continue our discussion. What have you learned that's helped you as a parent, or what question do you have for me today? Let's talk. Do you catch your kids repeating the profanity that maybe they pick up in school, or maybe unfortunately even in your own home? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. It says in Ephesians chapter 4:29 that we are to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Here's a fact. Our words reflect our heart, and I think it even reflects our intelligence to other people. And if profanity is an issue in your home, I think it's time to have an honest talk, maybe with your spouse, and talk about how it makes you feel. Let your children know that those words are powerful and what they mean and how they affect you and what God's intention is for the words that they use. And when you do those things, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
All right, I'm looking at the clock here. I think we have time for another caller coming up in a moment. But first, here's a comment from one of our listeners about how she grew up as a child. Take a listen.
Yes, my name is Paige, and I was just going to say that I know that growing up, my parents were always like, as long as you're helping yourself and you're out there trying to succeed in life and being the kind of person that God created you to be, then we're going to help you. But we're not going to help you if you're not going to help yourself. So I had no choice. I had to go out there, and they didn't just hand me stuff. I had to work for it. I had to earn it. I had to keep my room clean. I had to go get a job, or, it wasn't just handed to me. I had to earn it so that I could appreciate it.
Hmm. And I bet you thank your parents for that today. It's a great lesson learned. Personal responsibility is one of the five laws of intentional living. Learning to be responsible for what we think, for our emotions, how we respond to our emotions, and then what we do, including our attitude, the words that come out of our mouth. Taking responsibility and learning responsibility is important. Whenever I see parents who cover for their kids or bail them out from responsibility, we do them a great disservice. And learning to help our kids to grow and become responsible is really a very powerful part of the process of being an intentional parent. Today, that's what we've been talking about. How do we teach our kids to emulate the things in our life that are worthwhile and the things that aren't to go away, helping our kids see that there's some things that maybe they can grow beyond that they see in our lives. That's why intentional living is such an important thing.
All right. We got time for a call from a dad in Kansas. Go ahead.
You know, I immediately felt convicted. I have six wonderful children, and sometimes our home gets kind of crazy. And I want to be committed to taking a special time out, an intentional time out every night of the week individually for those six kids. So one Monday it'll be one, and on down through Saturday.
Well, you got 6 days, six kids. And what kinds of things will you do if you spend some individual time with your kids?
You know, I really want to just listen to them. I feel convicted a lot of times. I'm the one leading in the family, and everybody's got good thoughts, and I just don't listen enough. So,
all right, so you're going to start when?
I'm going to start today.
The power of one thing. Starting today, six kids, 6 days, that works out pretty well. And spending time individually listening to the heart of your children. Doesn't take a long time to do that, by the way. And they'll remember it. You know what? Someday they're going to be sharing their childhood memories. That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? They're going to be sharing their childhood memories of growing up in your home, or our kids or grandkids in our home. And whatever those memories may be, they're going to be the perception of your kids, of course. But you can live in such a way that they pick up from you the things that are most important. Here's a question today for you. What one thing could you do over the next 30 days to help your children grow? Or maybe even more personal. What's one thing in the next 30 days you could do that you want to eliminate from your life because you want your children to emulate something better than that? And if you have a one thing challenge for yourself and you'll join me in it, I'll tell you what, when you come to our website at theintentionallife.com/WB for wristband, we're going to send you one of our purple wristbands, same one that I wear every day. As a reminder, every day for you as you put it on, this is my one thing for today. And we'll get that to you. Again, just go to theintentionallife.com/WB. Well, I have just about a minute left here, just enough time to say thank you for your prayers for me, for Donna, and for our team in our mission here together through intentional living. And as I'm looking at the clock, I realize we only have a few hours left before the clock drops on June 30th, which is the end of our fiscal year. And I want to say thank you to those of you who have been faithfully supporting the ministry this last year. Thank you. And I'm going to ask you boldly, if you could share an additional love gift, maybe you've already given this month, this would be an additional love gift to help us close out this year. We'd appreciate it. We need your help. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on the donate button. And when you support the ministry at this critical hour, you're going to assure that we can close out the year and be able to faithfully move into this next fiscal year on solid footing. So thank you again for your support right now at this critical hour by going to theintentionallife.com, and God bless you. We'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.